You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. In Michigan, residents who appear in court will face judges who rely on money from those defendants to make their budgets work. That works out to criminal defendants being fined more than $418 million in fines and fees every year. Well, according to the final report out today from the Trial Court Funding Commission, the unanimous conclusion is this funding system is broken. So, what fixes are needed for our courts in Michigan? Well, let's find out now as we welcome back the chair of the Trial Court Funding Commission, Ingham County District Judge Thomas Boyd. Judge Boyd, always great to welcome you to Stateside.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So, Judge, the final report out today breaks down funding for our trial courts and shows more than 26% of the court budgets are generated by issuing fines and fees to defendants. Explain for us why this is a problem.
Well, the real concept is, can the judge, he or she, really be fair, not only be fair, but appear to be fair when the decision is related to the amount of money the court will have to operate? If your daughter is a college student here at Michigan State and they wander into my jurisdiction and get charged with a minor offense, a misdemeanor offense, and they come home and say, Mom, Dad, I didn't do it. When I hear that case, do you really want me to be thinking, you know, geez, if she's not guilty, I don't get any money out of this case. The standard that judges are held to by the United States Supreme Court is to avoid the appearance of an impropriety. In that system I just described to you, it might appear to some people that I have a dual motive or a conflict of interest. That's what we need to avoid.
We need to avoid that. And for defendants standing before you who are low income, how does that land on them?
In Michigan, there are rules for determining the ability to pay before sending someone to jail. Whether those rules are evenly applied or applied to people who aren't going to jail but simply face consequences of a motor vehicle infraction or some minor criminal endeavor, those are where the conflict lies. And again, if the judge is responsible for making sure that their city or their township or their county has enough money to pay for the court, that puts in their mind that this conflict of, am I supposed to make a determination based on the evidence in front of me, or do I have this responsibility to make sure there's enough money to fund the court? And unfortunately, in Michigan, there are multiple examples of mayors and township supervisors and other people from government saying, you know, if your revenue doesn't go up, we're going to lay off one of your staff.
The commission looked at this in depth over the last couple of years, and your final report is out today with some recommendations, the first being to have the state accept more responsibility for court funding. First off, what does the state cover now?
About 70% of the money used to operate the trial courts in Michigan comes from local sources. That's a combination of property tax, local general fund revenue, and funds that you mentioned earlier, generated by the court and turned over to the local unit to operate. The balance, the 30% remaining, is 7% from federal funding sources, grants, and other things like that, and then money from the state. However, a huge caveat is about $100 million of the money currently coming from the state to the trial courts actually originated with the trial courts, went to the state, and then they just give it back.
Oh, good heavens.
So the state share is actually pretty low right now.
So what does the report recommend in terms of more state involvement?
Well, the state stepping up its responsibility to be a more equal partner in the funding of the state trial court system is really underlies several of the recommendations. The first recommendation is that all of the money that comes into the trial courts go to the state and then to be redistributed to the trial courts, not based on how much each trial court brings in, but how much each trial court actually needs to operate. The point there is to create a disincentive or to remove the improper incentive to build revenue needlessly. If my court had a 2x revenue, meaning we cost $2 million to operate and we brought in $4 million, there would be no benefit to me or my court to have that extra $2 million. The incentive to take more money from the people than is necessary or than is appropriate would be gone. So that's the first recommendation. There will be a spillover there into law enforcement, because if money that's currently coming to the trial courts going to law enforcement is now not there, there would be no incentive to have a speed trap or other law enforcement that's just designed to enhance revenue. Now, you may need to have a speed trap or an enhanced enforcement zone if it's dangerous, but you would only do it because it's dangerous. Now, today, lots of people believe that speed traps exist to make more money for the city. Unfortunately, sometimes that's true. So the first recommendation for the Trial Court Funding Commission would fix that, would remove that improper incentive. The second is that the state offer and pay for a statewide data management system. Keeping track of court files, moving to electronic filing, these are all real parts of our life here as operators of courts. If the state were the provider at the state expense of all that technology, not only would we have better data, not only would we have a better history and better records, but that would shift more of the expense from the communities to the state. The third recommendation is to have the state take over collection of debts to the courts. There's three real reasons this makes sense. First is, other states that have done it have had an increase in revenue at a lower cost. Second is, courts aren't really good at this. Every court has a huge multi-million dollar receivable, is what we would call it if we're a business, meaning people owe us money and we're not great at collecting it. Third is, the way we collect it is by putting people in jail. So a couple of years ago, the folks at Michigan State University's law school helped us do a study, and they determined that for every time someone owes me money and I issue a warrant for their arrest, between the time I issue the warrant for their arrest and that person is standing back in front of me under arrest, we spend $130. Now, if that person only owes us $100, we've just lost money. If that person can only afford to pay $100, we've just lost money. We're not good at this. So those are the three reasons that it makes sense to have the state take over collection.
It sounds like it's more efficient, but you also believe this would make our courts more fair?
It would make our courts more fair. It would make our jails less overcrowded. It would be a much wiser way to spend local revenue.
Your report highlights what's happened in Kansas. So if the state gets more involved with court funding, there is the potential for, you know the word, politics. How much of a concern would politics be in doing this?
First of all, there's politics already. It's just that there's good politics or good relationships and troubled relationships. So I have a great relationship with the Ingham County Commission. They're very supportive of what we do here. And so there are no funding fights because of political issues. Other communities may not have a good relationship with their funding unit. Recently, the controller of Saginaw County sent a letter to his judges that says, you know what, we need to save money, and it occurs to us that your state employees were cutting your health care benefits. So politics, you know, plays out. So the question is, in Kansas, those politics are at the state level, and they battle back and forth. What I can tell you is that that's a cautionary tale, but the Michigan State Legislature already funds the judicial branch at the top level. All of the judges are already paid for by the state. The Supreme Court, which is where they had trouble with Kansas, paid for by the state, paid for by the legislative branch. So there is always the possibility of politics getting involved in our state, as I suggested in Saginaw. But the question then becomes, is there a way to control for it? Our recommendations balances the continued local investment with new increased state investment. So it never flips one way or the other. We're not arguing for a state takeover of the trial courts. We're just arguing for or suggesting and recommending a balancing, a shift a little more on the state so they can accept the responsibilities, and then doing things smarter, like taking away the incentives from courts and police to try, do a profit-motivated judging and policing, taking away the incentives from or the responsibility from courts to jail people because they owe money. These are the things that we're trying to shift and take away, not a state takeover like they had in Kansas. That, we believe, wouldn't work well.
I'm speaking with Ingham County District Judge Tom Boyd, who is the chair of the Trial Court Funding Commission, out today with the final report on ways to fix what they call the broken trial court funding system in Michigan. Judge, the report outlines in great detail where and how to start making these recommended fixes. These seem like pretty big lifts. Not only do they require legislation, in some cases there's whole changes in culture from the way things have always been done, and that's hard. What is the path forward from here?
You know, we've had really encouraging conversations with legislative leaders, Representative Graham Filler, the chair of the House Judiciary Committee, Senator Peter Lucido, the chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee. We really believe that the legislative committees responsible for this type of change are going to look at these recommendations seriously. Really important, earlier this year, the Michigan State Supreme Court, in a case entitled People versus Cameron, looked at two constitutional challenges to our court funding system. Now, in that case, they did not accept either of those two technical constitutional challenges. However, in a concurring opinion, the Chief Justice wrote that the conflicts pointed out by other parties in that litigation or people outside that litigation may be real, specifically pointing out to the same kind of problems we're talking about in the Trial Court Funding Commission report. She went so far as to say the legislature ought to read the recommendations of the Trial Court Funding Commission report and take action on them before the challenges we address are brought back to the court, she strongly suggests that the court might rule our current system unconstitutional on those challenges. So the point is, we are at a moment in history where all across the country, these financing structures are being challenged and are falling. The question is, can Michigan get out in front of it and fix it before there's a crisis?
Almost all the recommendations in your final report not only require legislative action, but there's the need for more state funding. How much more state money do you think we're talking about that would be needed at the end of the day to do this right?
Well, you know, it's really unclear because consistent with the Supreme Court's decision in People versus Cameron, the system is going to continue to charge defendants. Hmm. That is not changing, and that's not recommended to change. So the money that's there will continue to be there by and large. So it's not like we're saying that the system should not ask the defendants to pay. That's going to be the law. Cameron made that clear. The question then is what happens with that money when it's in the system? I do believe that there will be a shortfall when judges are only assessing the right amount as opposed to the profit-motivated amount. How much will that shortfall be? I don't really know. I think that it's safe to say it will be a lot of money, maybe as much as $100, $125 million a year. So yes, I believe the state needs to step up and invest a little more money here. We can't say exactly how much because there's no way to tell how much of a problem we'll be fixing here. And that's exactly what that $100 to $125 million is, and that's the problem that we're fixing here.
Now, for folks listening to us talk who have never been inside a courtroom, they do not envision any time at all when they would be standing before you in some kind of legal difficulty. They may be asking, why should my $100 to $125 million in tax dollars go to improve court funding? What do you say?
Fundamental to the American system of government is due process, equal protection, and fairness before the court. When jurors come in and we explain to them that our system of self-government could not exist without their service, what we're saying is that fairness is fundamental to the system. Too many people listening to this broadcast, too many people worried about what might happen to them the next time they go to court or what might happen to other people they know, don't believe the system's fair. They don't believe that they're going to get a fair shake because the judge is motivated by money or because the police officer is motivated by something improper. Everything is at stake if people don't believe the government is fair. And I think it's safe to say that a good percentage of the people listening to your broadcast today have some doubts that the system is fair. So do we need to spend money, even if it's a lot of money, to assure the system's fair? We do. We're spending it now. The amount of money we spend to operate the trial courts in Michigan is $1.1 to $1.4 billion, billion with a B, each year. We're not going to spend more. It's just this question is where that money's coming from. There's no proposal to spend more money. As a matter of fact, several of our proposals will save money. So it's not a question of should the people pay more. It's the question is what should we do with the money we have now? This is a long-term project. Our reports could easily take, you know, 6, 9, 12 years to be rolled out and totally implemented. Just last month, the United States Circuit Court for the Fifth Circuit decided in a case named Callista versus Contrell that a system of financing which was very much like Michigan's was totally unconstitutional. So this is a system that's going to change one way or the other. Michigan either can be a leader and do thoughtful change like the report recommends, or a federal court's going to tell us how to do it differently someday in the future with a lot less control by the people of Michigan.
Ingham County District Judge Tom Boyd, who's chair of the Trial Court Funding Commission, out today with its final report proposing reforms to our trial court funding system. Judge Boyd, always a pleasure. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.